The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Dov Lev.
Simin Kuf Mem Aleph Sif Yud Gimel. Hakara es haMegillah tzarich sheyachaven lahotzi es kol hashomim. One who is reading the Megillah should have intent that he wants to fulfill the obligations of all of the listeners. Vigam hashomeya tzarich lechaven lotzeis v'lishmoa kol teva v'teva. The listeners also have to have intent that they want to fulfill their obligation, and they have to listen to every single word. Sha'afilo imrak teva achas lo shama, because even if there's a single word that was not heard, eino yotza, he has not fulfilled his obligation. Luchain sarach hakora lahashkiach ma'od. Therefore, the baal kora has to be very careful. Shebeshor shemarishin umibablin ba'kos haman, that at the time that they're making noise and they're banging because Haman's name was said, Yishtok, he should be quiet and not read further in the Megillah, Ad Yava Harash Legamri, until all the noise is totally finished. Umikol Makom, Ra'ui V'Nachon, in any case, it is certainly proper, Sheyeh L'Kol Echad V'Echad Megillah Kishera, that each individual should have their own kosher Megillah, Kidei sheyomer ba'atzmo mila b'mila b'lachash, in order that they'll be able to say each word along with the baal korah. Pen lo yishma teva achas min hakorah, so that he should not miss out on one word from the baal korah. V'chein ko isha chachmas lev, any woman who is wise she'omedes be'ezras nashim, that she is standing in the Ezras Nashim, which might be far away from the Baal Korah, and it might be more difficult to hear over there. Im Efshar, if it is possible, Matov, it would be so wonderful, Lios La Megillah Kshera, that she should have a kosher Megillah, Lekros Mitocha, to read from it, Kisham Kosher Lishma, because over there in the Ezras Nashim it is difficult to hear, V'hanoshim chayavos kimo ho'anoshim, and the women have the same obligation to hear the Megillah, just like the men do. Now, if people do not have a kosher Megillah, and they miss a word, for whatever reason, so then the halacha is that they could read the missing word, or a few words, during the Kriyas Megillah, even though they do not have a kosher Megillah. Now this is not lechatchila. This is only b'shas adchak, if you're stuck. A person's middle of listening to Kriyas Megillah and they miss out on the word. Let's say the fellow next to you sneezed, or some children were making noise when they were not supposed to. So you should read those missing words and quickly catch up to where the Baal Korah is. Now the poskim say that the same thing would be true even if he missed out on the beginning of the Megillah, meaning the opening words, or the closing words of the Megillah. What you can do is, even if you do not have a kosher Megillah, you could just say the missing words. This is what's brought down in the Bir Halacha. Now, if someone does have a kosher Megillah, then they are allowed to read the entire Megillah along with the Baal Korah. But if you don't have a kosher Megillah, you're only supposed to read the missing words. Now, the idea of banging and making noise when Haman's name is said is somewhat controversial. There are plenty of poskim that say that we lose out more by doing that than if we were not be following that minug. Because what often happens is, Once children get into the habit of banging, they end up making noise even when they are not supposed to. So it is critical that the children should be warned, and warned again, that under no circumstance may they make noise when it is not the appropriate time to do so. In the end of the kitzur here, we have in parentheses, im lo kitzur es halavana, if they did not yet do kiddush levana by Purim time, v'nirasa b'shas kriyas ha-megillah, and it is the moon is now seen during kriyas ha-megillah, ein le'il sof simin tzadi zayin. So take a look earlier at the end of simin tzadi zayin, what you're supposed to do. So the halacha is that if they see the new moon before they begin reading the Megillah, so then they should do Kiddush Levana first before Kriyas Megillah. Now, if they see the new moon in middle of Kriyas Megillah, if it's a situation where they still have opportunity to finish Kriyas Megillah, and then afterwards they could do Kiddush Levana, so you should not interrupt Kriyas Megillah for the sake of anything else. However, if they're concerned that by the time they finished Kriyas Megillah, then they no longer will have the opportunity to do Kiddush Levana, so, and the entire community has not yet done Kiddush Levana, so then the halacha is that they should stop their Kriyas Megillah in the middle, do Kiddush Levana, and afterwards still complete the Kriyas Megillah. Now, this is only true for a tzibah, for the community, if the community has not yet done Kiddush Levana. The obvious purpose of Kriyas Megillah is for Pirsum Hanes. It's in order to publicize the miracle. But the Gemara in Erechin says another rationale for Kriyas Megillah. The Gemara lists off all of the days on which Hallel is said, and Purim is not among them. The Gemara explains because reading the Megillah serves as a form of Hallel. So we should keep this in mind when we're listening to the Megillah, that this is our manner of expressing our gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're singing our praise to Him through the Megillah. One of the most well-known practices on Purim is omitted totally from the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and that is the custom of dressing up in costumes on Purim. Now, this custom actually has no source in Gemaras or Midrashim or even among the Rishonim. The first place that we know of where it is mentioned is in the Tshuva from the Mari Mintz, and it is brought down in the Ramah in the end of Simin Tov Resh Sadivav. The Ramah says that there is a custom of dressing up in different clothing, but he doesn't give any explanation for it. The El Yoraba does provide a reason for it. He says because it's a zecher, it's a remembrance of the fact that Mordechai went out b'levush malchus, which is one of the four psukim that we emphasize in the Megillah. The truth is, if that would be the only source for the minug, then people should only get dressed up like royalty and not like anything else. There's another explanation given in the Sefer B'nei Yisoscha. He brings down, in the name of the Maram Chagiz, that the Gemara says that in the times of Nebuchadnezzar, the Jewish people bowed down only externally. They were putting on an external portrayal as if they were being Ovid of Avodah Zarah, but really internally they didn't believe in it. Based on this, he says that the reason why we dress up in costumes is to show that our internals and our externals are not always the same. There's another explanation given. It's brought down in the Sefer Torah HaMoedim, and that he explains there that there is a medrash, also the Gemara, that the Malachim came to Achashverosh, and they dressed up like people, and they uprooted the trees in the garden of Achashverosh. And Achashverosh asked them, "Why are you doing this?" And they said, "Because Haman told us to do so." So as a remembrance of the fact that the part of the miracle occurred through dressing up, so therefore we have the custom also of dressing up in Purim. But perhaps the best known explanation for dressing up in Purim is the idea that the whole Purim story takes place in a way that's secretive, a way that's hidden, a way that there's something else going on behind the scenes, underneath the covers. And that is what we are trying to convey by dressing up on Purim, is to show that there's more than what you see around you. Now, there is a big question among the poskim whether or not it is permissible for a man to dress up like a woman or for a woman to dress up like a man. Normally, we have a halacha that a man is not allowed to wear beged isha, and vice versa. Some poskim claim that when it comes to Purim, it's obvious that it is just being done in the spirit of the day. However, the majority of poskim, and this is what is brought down in the Mishnah Berurah, say that it is wrong, it is terribly wrong, for people to dress up like the other gender, and it is a practice that should be stopped. Halacha Yud Dalid. Hakoret Sarach Sheyomer es Aseres B'nei Haman V'gam Tevas Aseres Hakol B'Neshima Achas. The Baal Korah, when he's reading the Megillah, should say the names of the 10 sons of Haman, as well as the word Aseres, all in one breath, which means he should not breathe in between. Lahodia, to publicize, Shakulam Nergu Vinitzlu Keachad, that they all were killed and that they all were hanged collectively at the same time. Vinogim Lechatchila Lomar Minchamesh Meos Ish Hakob Neshima Echas. And Lechatchila, you should really begin from the words Chamesh Meos Ish. All of that should be also in one breath. Ubidieved, afilo hifsek bein aseres bnei Haman. Bidieved, even if you interrupted and you did stop to breathe in middle of the names of the bnei Haman, yatsa, you have fulfilled your obligation. Now, what is the reason that we say the names of the 10 bnei Haman all in one shot? So, the Kitza tells us because they were all hanged together. Now, there's some problems with this. In the Sefer Minos HaLevi, this is a Sefer that was written by the author of the Luchot Dodi. It's a Pirush, a very, very elaborate Pirush, on Megillas Esther. So he asked the question, he said, how can it be that Chazal tell us that the reason why we say the names of the Aseres Bnei Haman in one breath is because they were all hanging together and that they all died together? But it seems from the Pesukim not the way, because it says in Megillas Esther, in the ninth parak, it says that the Yehudim killed out with a sword all of their enemies, and it mentions there the names of the Aseres Bnei Haman. So how can you say that they died when they were hanged if they were actually killed by sword? So he offers an answer that they weren't actually killed by the sword, but they were maimed, and they were approaching death. And at that point, Esther approached Ahasuerus and asked for permission to have them be hanged on the eights. So, in fact, they did indeed die on the eights, all 10 of them in one shot, but they were first were maimed through the sword. There's a different approach that is suggested by Rabbi Yehuda Ibn Shushan, which is a very interesting name for someone who has a pirush on Megillas Esther, who says that the 10 Bnei Haman were actually not killed when they were hanged in the tree, but rather they were indeed killed by the sword, and they were all killed at the exact same time. Subsequently, their dead bodies were hanged on the gallows. In any case, we do read them collectively in one breath, if it is possible. The Kitzer goes on. Umashinogim biktas mikomos shekol hakahal omrim aseres b'nei hama. And this minhag that they have in some places, that everyone reads the names of the 10 children of Haman, eino minhag nachon, is not a proper minhag. Ela hakore levad yomrim, but rather the Baal Kore should read it himself. V'hakahal yishmu kimo kol hamegillah, and the tzibur should listen just like the rest of the Megillah. Now, the reason why he says this is because if the congregation that we're busy saying the names of the 10 B'nai Haman, many of them do not even have a kosher Megillah, and they cannot be Yotza with that, and they're going to miss out listening to the Baal Kore reading. Now, the common practice is today that the congregation does indeed read the names of the 10 B'nai Haman, but while they do so, the Baal Kore is silent. He does not read along with them. And only once the whole congregation is quiet, then the Baal Kore says the names of the 10 B'nai Haman. Now, there are some other customs about Kriyas Megillah. Kisha Omer HaKore Balayla Hahu Nadida. When he says that pasuk, Balayla Nadida, Yagbia Kolo, he should raise his voice. Kisham Maskil Ikar Hanes, because at that point, that was the beginning of the blatant miracles. Ukeshe Omer HaIgeres Hazos, when he reads these words, HaIgeres Hazos, this letter, Yinana Esa Megillah, he should shake the Megillah, because it's referring to the Megillah's Esther scroll. In the listing of the 10 sons of Haman, the last one is Vaizosa. If you notice, the Vav of Vaizasa is extra long. And the Mepharshim bring down that this is because it's a simon that all of the sons of Haman were hanged on the tree, one on top of the other. In fact, the Levush says that not just should you write it with an extra long Vav, but also when you read it, it should also, the emphasis should be on the Vav to stretch it out a bit. Halakha Tes Vav. Misha Yesh Lefanov Megillah Psula O Chumash. Someone who has in front of him a Pasul Megillah, or he's just using a plain Chumash, Lo Yikra Im Shliach Hatzibah. He should not read along with the Baal Kore. Ki Im Hu Kore, because if he would read at the same time, he would not be able to focus his attention on the kriya from the Baal Kore. Vafilo imhu yechavein, and even if he would be able to focus, shema yishma akar mashahu kore, maybe someone else will pay attention to what he's reading. Velo yechavein lekriya shliach hatzibah, and the other person will not be focused on the reading of the Baal Kore. V'chein, and similarly, for the same purpose, lo yisayeya shum adam baal peh l'shliach hatzibur. No one should be assisting the Baal Kore reading by helping him, by reading along with him. L'chein osan arba psuke ge'ulam sh'omrim hakahal b'korom. And therefore, those four psukim of redemption, where the minhag is that the congregation reads them out loud, Tzorach Shliach HaTzibur Lachzor Ulekrosam Mitoch HaMegillah HaKshera. So first the congregation will read them, and afterwards the Baal Kore will repeat them from a kosher Megillah. The reason why the four psukim are said out loud by the Tzibur, the four psukim being Ish Yehudi, and Umardecha Yotza, and La Yehudim Hoysa Oira, and Ki Mardechai, is for a number of explanations that are said in the Abu Draham. The first one is to increase the simcha for all the people listening, because these are the happier parts of the Megillah. Secondly, and this is going to sound a little bit funny, is that in case someone is beginning to fall asleep during Kriyas Megillah, when everyone shouts out those psukim together, so that will very likely wake him up. Another reason is because we want to show kavod to Mordechai, since the nes took place through his hand. All these are brought down in the Avud Raham. Halacha Tes Zayin. Mi shekvar yotza bekriyas Megillah v'korei lahotzi acha. Someone who already fulfilled his obligation in Kriyas Megillah and is now reading again to be motzi someone else. Im zeh shehu tzarech lotzeis yodeya ba'atzmo levarach as a brachos. If the listener knows how to make the brachos himself, yivarech ba'atzmo, so he should make the brachos himself. V'im hi isha, and if it's a woman, tov yoter shehakora yivarech v'yomer, it's best that the Baal Korah should make the brachos, and he should say, asher kidishanu v'mitzvosa v'tzivanu lishmoa Megillah. Now some people have a different version of this bracha, and they say lishmoa mikra Megillah, and in fact that's the way the Mishnah Berurah paskins. What is the reason that by Kriyas Megillah the bracha that is normally made is the bracha of al mikra Megillah, while on the other hand when it comes to Tkiya Shofar there we make the bracha lishmoa kol shofar? Why by Megillah do we not make the bracha of Lishmoa Mikra Megillah? So this question is dealt with in the Avud Raham, and he suggests that Kriyas Megillah is very different than Tkiya Shofar. That by Tkiya Shofar there's a mitzvah to hear it, to listen, to hear it. By Kriyas Megillah, the mitzvah is to read it. So in theory, if one would be able to read the Megillah and they would not hear it at all, then the halacha would be that they would be yotze. Then the halacha would be that they have fulfilled their obligation. Halacha Yudzayin. Bishabbos she'eino Purim mutarin l'taltel es ha-Megillah. On Shabbos, which is not Purim, it is permitted to move the Megillah because it is not considered muktzah. The Kitzah Shulchan Aruch is clearly implying that if Purim would fall out on Shabbos, it would be forbidden to move the Megillah because it would be muksa. And this is actually the position of the Pri Chodesh in Siman Tov Resh Pei Ches, that he says that if Purim falls out on Shabbos, the Megillah may not be moved. The Mishnah Berurah argues, the Mishnah Berurah does not paskin like the Pri Chodesh, and he says it doesn't matter which Shabbos of the year it is, Megillah is never muktzah. Now, can Purim really ever fall out on Shabbos? Well, in most of the world it cannot, but in walled cities such as Yerushalayim, Purim does indeed fall out on Shabbos. Umiko makom imchol Purim biyom aleph. In any case, if Purim falls out on Sunday, ein lahavi b'Shabbos es haMegillah lebeis haKnesses. You may not bring the Megillah to shul on Shabbos, va'afilo be'er shehi mitukenes be'erovin, even if it's within a city that has an erev set up, mishum dahavi mechin mishabbos l'chol, because by bringing the Megillah for a motzei Shabbos purpose, you are preparing from Shabbos to weekday, which is usher.